From the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, it is Thursday night and you are exactly where you need to be at ztalkradio.com. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. Good evening, Karen. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent. Not too bad. So you had a pretty interesting investigation this weekend, right?
That's right. I emailed you and told you, you know how I've been talking about for weeks and kind of with my whiny suburban angst that I was having my crisis of faith about the paranormal?
Sure.
As I do from time to time. Well, it is no more. It has been dispelled. It
Excellent.
Is gone. So until the next time when I start to feel angsty again, it's just if I go for a period of time between those experiences. But yeah, I had a pretty loud and definitive experience that was so surprising that I actually screamed like a girl.
Yeah, what happened? Tell us about it.
Well, so I was with South Sound Paranormal Research, which is a local team here, and I've investigated with them before the History Museum here in Lewis County, where I live, Lewis County, Washington, and actually wrote about it in one of the episodes of the magazine. As a matter of fact, last week on the radio, we talked about that we'd had the kids' ghost camp there, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they got two new objects into the museum that they've been waiting for 5 years to get, and they were really excited about them. They're okay. Kind of turn-of-the-century funeral conveyances. So one of them is a hack that families rode in for funerals, and the other is actually the buggy that pulled the coffin.
Okay.
Horse-drawn, of course. So they have these in the museum now. And the museum curator, Debbie, called and said, you know, I'd like you guys to just come down and check these things out.
Right.
So we went, and we didn't plan a full investigation. We really thought we were going to kind of, you know, sit and wave recorders over them and ask questions. And instead, what happened is that we just had some really kind of crazy experiences that night that culminated in a pen that we suspect was at a front desk, and we have photos showing that it wasn't where it wound up.
Right.
All of us, there were four or five of us, that we were just all sitting there together on a bench in the museum, and there was this huge crash, and it sounded like something had, I mean, it sounded like something had, somebody had shot out a window in the museum or something, and it had thrown a pen behind us, not at us, but just behind us to get our attention. We had several other things too, but that was really kind of the big thing, and fairly convincing that this pen made its way to us rather loudly.
See, that's one of the things that I love, and you know, and I'm sure a lot of people won't admit to it, but I actually don't mind when things get thrown at me, because it's sort of like validation that, hey, you don't really want us there, so I'm going to be here and do my job anyways. But we had a pretty interesting investigation ourselves. It was an apartment job, so it was only a few of us, and it was my first outing as lead investigator, so you know, it was kind of really nice and basic. But it was kind of one of those investigations where you don't really get anything, you know, kind of not really boring, but just, you know, you really didn't see anything. You really didn't experience anything. You kind of didn't really get anything. So, you know, we just, you know, talked to the client for, you know, a little bit after the investigation, and, you know, they seem to be okay, and everything seems to be okay with, you know, with what's going on in the apartment. Now, however, the highlight of the evening was we stopped at a local gas station to get a little something to drink, and went inside. Carolyn, one of our investigators, we were passing a rack of magazines, and when we racked it, she's like, "Oh, look, they sell, you know, porno mags here." She didn't say porno mags, but, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, ooh, porno." I'm like, "Whoa, comic books!" So you know, I got some comic books that night. So that was kind of like the highlight of my night.
The highlight of your evening, huh?
The highlight of my evening. Comic books are always a highlight. But now, from what I understand, Karen, you have an EVP to share
our
listeners.
Yeah, this is actually one that I was telling you guys about last week, that we took the kids and we sat them down in one of the rooms where it's fairly active, but it's a fairly benign activity. Mm-hmm. It's not pens flying through the air or people getting poked. And oh, that was the other thing. I also got poked very hard in my side.
Okay.
Very hard. Like, there was no denying that someone had poked me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but this was one of the rooms kind of away from that activity. It's the genealogy room. It's kind of a, you know, there's something that goes on in there, but it's pretty calm. So sure. We sat them down and we did an EVP session with them. And then I reviewed while they ran around and did the rest of their little junior ghost hunter stuff. I reviewed the stuff. And this is mm-hmm. the EVP that I got. So Cheryl has it queued up. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
What's your favorite animal?
Oh, boy, it is hard to hear. Mm-hmm. So here's what I will tell you about investigating with a group of kids. They do not stand still for a frickin' minute. All the banging that you hear are the kids. But there is an EVP in there. The little girl, her name was Elizabeth with an A, which is kind of cute, yeah, asks the question, what's your favorite animal? And almost at the end of the thing, it answers in what sounds like one of the kids talking. It's not one of the kids talking. So can we hear it again, Cheryl?
Yeah.
What's your favorite animal?
My headphones are so bad on this that can you hear it, Rick?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I heard it. I love how she said, "What's your favorite animal?"
your animal.
That was cute. But yeah. I heard something and I thought I heard the word panda bear.
It's a tiger.
Tiger. Oh, tiger. I thought I heard panda bears somewhere in there because, you know, panda bears are my favorite animals. So that's
It says tiger. So anyway, that's just one of the little things that we caught with the kids at the museum. And then we mm-hmm. played that back for them. Just a sec. I have to cough. I'm so sorry. Anyway, we played that back for them. Mm-hmm. And they were just really excited. And all of them heard it. And all of them heard what it said. So I think my headphones on this, that's Jim's computer, and I think that they're really, really crappy because I can hear it usually without headphones.
Yeah.
So
are you suggesting the next time you go out with, ghost hunting with a bunch of kids that you should jack them up all on Ritalin or something?
I would say have them wear socks instead of shoes. And, yes, maybe give them something, a little Valium or something. When I sat and listened to that, and it was we did maybe about 20 minutes in mm-hmm. that session with the kids. And when I sat and listened to that session afterward, oh my God, the banging was like constant and the shuffling and the it was pretty funny.
Well, you know, on my regular job, at my real job, I work with kids, and man, I tell you what, you're absolutely right. These guys. Just trying to get them stand in one place for like more than 2 seconds is damn near impossible.
Oh yeah. And so, when you tell them with the EVP session, when you ask a question, you need to wait about 10 to 20 seconds before you ask your next question.
Right.
That about kills them. They average maybe about 4 seconds before they pop in with something else. And this little girl, Elizabeth, was just darling because mm-hmm. she would ask the world's longest EVP questions. That what's your favorite animal was very short. Normally what she would say is something like, are your parents dead, or
aww,
were they dead before you were dead? Mm-hmm. And maybe your cousins or your family or something. And you just kind of want to say, okay, shh, be quiet. Let them answer now. But she would drag out these long, it was really cute, these long, drawn-out EVP questions.
Yeah.
So lots of stuff to teach kids, clearly, because they don't quite have it.
You know, I think, well, you know, who really does? I mean, come on.
I know.
You know, but I always tell one, any newer investigators that when you're doing an EVP session, it's not really polite to ask about when they died or do they know that they're dead, because would you really want somebody reminding you of the worst day of your life?
You know, and that's my theory why it's more active in that museum right now with those hearses there.
Uh-huh.
Because they are visible symbols of death.
Right, and that could very well be. definitely. Yeah, it's definitely not something you want to, you know, remind somebody of. It's going to be like, you know, reminding me, hey, Rick, you remember when you got that tooth pulled? And it's like, yeah, man, I remember that. That was the worst day of my life. So, well, I got that to look forward to. So,
yeah, I've always kind of thought that it was, I've always, and I've never known why I thought it, but I've always kind of thought it was bad form.
Yeah.
To ask about the whole dead thing. But I hear people do it. I hear seasoned investigators do it. I think it's just kind of a personal preference thing. And of course, sure. I tend to be, although, you know, I don't sound like it on the radio show a lot of the times, I tend to be a pretty polite person. And I try really hard not to hurt people's feelings. And so for me, when I hear somebody do it, I kind of go, but at the same time, you know, I think it's a personal preference. I don't think it matters one way or another.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I just wanted to say that real quick because I remember that I didn't say it. Next week, I'm not going to be on the show. You guys already know that, but I wanted our listeners to know that as well because I am going to be having a tooth pulled.
And that's
I'm not
right.
looking forward to this. Now, usually when I'm like on an investigation and I know that there's like a spirit or spirits or whatever, I usually forget all my phobias. Unfortunately, though, Dr. Mangala's office, or Dr. Miles, excuse me, his office is not haunted, so I'm just going to have to listen to my iPod and the Fear Factory that I downloaded, and hopefully I don't hear a damn thing.
You'll be okay.
So, all right, well, tonight's show, we got a pretty decent lineup for everybody. We're going to have NEPA Paranormal on the show again. We're going to have Katie and Bob Christopher. They are the founders of NEPA, and as well as Dave Conkling, an investigator, and Mark, he's an investigator as well. And we're also going to be talking about their web-based television show, Ghost Detectives, which is actually pretty decent. I've watched a couple episodes and I liked it.
Oh, so, very good. Okay. Yeah. So let's do that when we come back from break. We will be going to break and we'll be back, Paranormal Underground Radio and Z-Talk Radio, in just a minute.
If you are a business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, everybody. This is Lee Douglas. I want to invite all of you 50s and 60s music lovers to listen to Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today, with a 110,000 song playlist. Our shows are always available 24/7. Go to www.oldtimernr.com. We have two new shows each week, and we take requests and dedication just like the old days. That's oldtimernr.com. Come on over. Enjoy the fun.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media.
In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency.
On ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. And joining us tonight is going to be members of NEPA Paranormal. We got Katie and Bob Christopher, who are the founders, and Dave Conkling and Mark, who are both investigators for the group. Just kind of give you a little bit of a background on it. NEPA Paranormal is a group of paranormal investigators who are from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I pronounce Barre right. It is Barre?
Barry.
Barry. Oh, God. Sorry.
Oh, no.
You got to get that NEPA accent.
you see, I'm from Chicago, so I can't help my accent.
He's got the Midwestern accent. I'm the only one here without the accent.
That's
okay. So you guys cover Northeast Pennsylvania and surrounding areas. It also says that you guys take a very scientific approach to the paranormal. Now, NEPA always carries the mindset that a place is not haunted and they will not deem a location haunted without concrete evidence. You guys will also try to debunk and find logical human explanations. So, NEPA Paranormal, welcome to the underground.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Thank you. So I wanted to let our listeners know really quickly that if they go to paranormalunderground.net and then they go to the blog, and it's like paranormal evidence blog or something like that, we have some of your videos there as evidence, and we're going to be discussing those because I have a few questions about some of those videos. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that you guys are actually also participating in a web-based and local television show, and it's called Ghost Detectives, and that's ghostdetectives.tv, right?
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. So I wanted to ask you to start, just to start out, because I watched the videos. I think Bob sent them. Thank you. And the first thing that I watched was a shovel falling over. And so for me, I thought, well, it's a shovel. It just sort of fell over because, you know, it's rounded and stuff. Why did that? Why do you think that shovel fell over by something other than gravitational or natural means?
Well, actually, this was fairly close to the end of our investigation. It was actually our premiere episode for our show, Ghost Detectives. Mm-hmm. And our investigators were just about getting ready to wrap up. And they're saying, okay, if you don't want us here anymore, you need to do something to make us leave. And within seconds, the shovel fell over. We actually also, the clients kept that shovel in the same spot for 2 weeks after we had investigated, before we met up with them again. And at this time, we had these crazy thunderstorms and windstorms and everything, and they said that thing didn't move in 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty convincing then.
Yeah, I think it would be more convincing if the spirit picked the shovel up and slammed it into the wall. But yeah, I mean, so something that simple is pretty convincing, yeah.
Definitely. Yes. So I noticed in the clips that you sent us that you guys like to use the Ovilus. And now, are you using an actual Ovilus or are you using like an Ovilus app?
We're using the actual Ovilus.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
see, Aaron, I'm not the only person that says it Ovilus.
Well, is it Ovilus or Ovilus? I don't know. I don't know.
I say like Ovilus.
I like some of the stuff that Digital Dowsing does, and I have used several of their things, and I really find them fascinating. But I've never seen results quite like the ones that you obtained with the Ovilus when you were investigating a trolley. So was that Dave who was – no, who? Which one of you was the Ovilus talking about in the trolley clip?
It was actually talking to Mike.
Mike.
We actually have Mike here, yeah.
Okay.
He actually showed up, and Lee showed up here, you know, for the radio show. But, yeah, I was talking to Mike at the time. Mike kind of is learning this as we go. And at that particular time, we didn't actually pick it up because it was talking so fast at the time. You know what I mean? We were trying to concentrate on what it was saying, but we just couldn't pick the words up that fast until we took it back and actually looked at it. Then we saw, you know, actually what it said.
So just for our listeners who haven't seen the video, could you explain what it said and what was happening at the time? Because it was pretty impressive.
Well, at the time, we were in this basement. It was like a big boiler room. They hadn't opened that in, I guess, around 10 years, and they gave us access to it. Supposedly there was a death down in there, and nobody's actually been in there. So we decided to go down there and do some investigating, and it was, I mean, the temperature was really dropping in there. Mm-hmm. And Mikey was, we had to actually go down with ladders to get into this place. That's how far down it was. But they stayed up on, like, the first level. And Mike felt as though something was touching him on the neck. And the Ovilus said, ghost grabbing at Mikey.
Oh, see, that's what it said. I really couldn't quite understand that. Okay, now that makes sense to me now.
Yeah, so that's pretty significant because that's actually something that's happening at the same time that, I mean, it's narrating itself.
Exactly. I mean, for that, I understand it, you know, it can spit out random words, but it for it to spit out, you know, Mikey's name and, you know, grabbing at a neck, which he felt at that particular time, I mean, the odds of that happening would have to be, you know, astronomical for that guy to put that in there at that time to come out.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Mikey was pretty freaked out by that, too.
It was, I mean, at first it was kind of lost on us because when we work with the ovulus, we're used to it giving one-word responses, so we never really put the sentence together until we're watching the video. We're like, did it just, like, tell us a sentence?
So how does the ovulus work for people who don't know?
Oh, sorry. I didn't know who was going to go.
You were all looking at each other like, well, I don't know.
What the ovulus does is it actually takes EMF readings, and vibrations in the air, general energy surroundings, and supposedly these spirits are able to manipulate it and, you know, spit out these words. It has a couple different kind of settings. It has a dictionary mode, which it has, I believe it's 512 words in its dictionary. Now, this is the original ovulus that we use. We do have one of the newer ovuluses that has like a 3,000-word vocabulary, but we hardly ever use it, to be honest with you.
Now, is that the one that actually has the display on it where you can read what it's saying?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can actually hook it up to the computer, type in questions, it'll answer you that way. You know, that's for tech-savvy ghosts, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
but my theory on this, it kind of works on the theory like, you know how, you know, somebody loses, you know, their larynx and they use that machine, you know, and it creates vibrations, you know, to spit the words out.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have one with a talker chip in it that is a from Digital Dowsing as well. But instead of words, it does the allophones, which my husband characterizes as if someone pushed Stephen Hawking down the stairs, it would be a-a-a-e-e. And so it takes those parts of speech, and then it forms words, sometimes coherent words.
Yeah.
Right, that's called photonic speech, they call that. Actually, that particular model that we have has that too, but we haven't really experimented a lot with it. Like I said, and the strange part about this ovulus, this particular model, it will spit out words that do not exist in the dictionary, which is really weird sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That is weird.
Yeah, we were in Easton, Pennsylvania, investigating a mafia bar down there, and supposedly this guy had a hit put on him right inside the bar, and the ovulus said whacked on it. And I know that doesn't exist in the dictionary.
Does Mikey exist in the dictionary?
Excuse me?
Does Mikey exist in the dictionary?
I don't know. Actually, I didn't even look that up, but I will look that up when I get home.
Yeah, because I would think that would, if it only has 3,000 words, I can't imagine that one of them would be Mikey.
Well, actually, the one that we use only has 512 words.
Oh, well, then it's probably most likely not Mikey.
Yeah,
right.
The chances become lower.
Right. I didn't even, I'll be honest with you, we were so excited about that I didn't really even think about looking that up.
You know, there was...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, you know, another thing with the trolley episode that I found was kind of interesting, and now I know it's, you know, rather heretical and almost an unforgivable sin these days to believe in orbs, but, you know, when you guys were sitting in the trolley there and, you know, all of a sudden the, you know, light anomaly, whatever you want to call it, appears, you know, looking at it a few times, it almost looks as if it's checking everybody out and then just sort of disappears. Now, did you guys ever come to a final disposition on what that may have been?
We think it was a bug.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine, so the trolley, part of that trolley, you said people hadn't really been down there much. I would imagine that there would be a lot of dust in there, too, as a result.
Yeah, I believe Mark pointed it out as we were filming. At the time when I saw it on the IR, I thought maybe it was some kind of energy field. But later on, after I watched it, it was definitely something flying around in there. I mean, like flies and bugs and things like that light up like Christmas trees under the IR lights. So,
yeah.
So
definitely.
So tell us about the trolley.
It was cool. I mean, we had a really, really good time in there. It was a pretty awesome experience. It was pretty quiet as far as paranormal activity goes, but just the history of it, the story of the woman dying in there, it was just it's pretty great.
Cool. And it's fun to go places where not a lot of people go as well. So
yeah, I believe, yeah, we were maybe less than a handful of groups that actually got to investigate that place. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool. So I also noticed, was it also in the trolley episode that you had the other Ovilus hit where you two of you walked upstairs and it said upstairs? Was that in the trolley as well?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Well, that makes me want to play with my Ovilus a little more. I have never, I've always sort of felt like it was kind of not been real effective for me. But I also think that if I'm a ghost, I mean, you know, I suck at technology anyway. I've got a learning curve for an iPhone, which is like the easiest thing on the planet to learn. So if I'm a ghost and I got to figure out how to manipulate energy to make words come out of a box, I'm pretty much out of the game.
Yeah, most of the results we do have with the Ovilus is they spit out random words, and usually it doesn't mean anything. That does happen quite a bit. Actually, to get that kind of result and catch that on camera, that just blows my mind. Blows my mind.
Yeah. So now another piece of video that we have on our website is something that the video actually says that this is one of the most compelling pieces of evidence you guys have ever seen. And it looks like it's maybe a microphone cord or something that lifts up and then pulls something off of a table. Can you tell me about that and tell me where it was and what the claims were in the place where you were?
We were at a private residence. It was just somebody's home. And what we thought was really interesting about the video was when we do real-time EVPs, the headphones that we have really long cords, so we're usually very aware of them. And if you watch the beginning of the video, you will see that the investigator takes the time to tuck the cord under her leg so she doesn't do something like that herself, because I can't tell you how many times we've snagged them and thrown the recorders across the room and praying we didn't break them. But
right.
And right after she does that and, you know, sets it down and makes sure everything's secure, you can see the wire actually lift up. And if you look closely at it, there's one part of the wire that's actually straight, even though the rest of the wire is curved, and it almost looks like it's in somebody's hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so. I would imagine that you guys have played that piece of video over and over and over again.
You can't even imagine.
Oh, I kind of can, actually. And so have you come up with any alternative theories, or is your simplest explanation, hey, this was some unseen hand that did this?
I mean, we've tested so many different things, but we actually, unfortunately, didn't catch it on camera, but had a very similar experience in the attic of the same home. It was very slowly tugging on it, and we noticed that the recorder that we set in the middle of the table was now hanging off the edge of the table, and nobody saw it do that. So based off of that and catching the video, I can't give any explanation for it.
Okay.
What now? You know what? I'm sorry. I had kind of a little thing there. Are we talking about the very first episode in the home where the guy was the collector?
No. This video was actually a private case we did as an EPA paranormal. We didn't do an episode on this case.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wanted to, you know, to talk, you know, touch on that that very first episode, the private residence that you guys did. Now, do you guys believe the theory that artifacts do in fact carry some kind of, you know, that they can actually carry the energy or possibly the spirit of the person that owned it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's especially with the things that this guy collected. I mean, mm-hmm. He had war uniforms that men died in that still had their blood stains on them.
He had the you know, the Mein Kampf. Can you think of anything that has more blood stains on it than, you know, the book that Adolf Hitler wrote that talks about his hate? I just thought that that was, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about, I'm watching, I'm like, man, who owns this kind of stuff?
I'll tell you what, I just want to make sure. Bob did send you guys over the video with the dowsing rods, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was me who was using the dowsing rods, and honestly, when they pointed that book, I got chills. I really did. Like, of all the books on this bookshelf with hundreds of books, this is the one you pick.
Right.
Yeah, Katie went in there blind, too. We didn't even tell her about that. And that was the really remarkable part about that, is you went in there with no idea where this book was or what it was about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll use the dowsing rods to ask yes or no questions, but every once in a while I'll just feel like... point me to where you want to go. Do you know if things are quiet and the rods are working? And so they started. I'm in that main house at the time, not in the actual museum where all this stuff was.
Sure.
And they actually pointed me like through the living room, through the dining room, through the kitchen, out the door, to the museum, to the bookshelf, to this book.
Wow.
See, now I find that really interesting. I've never actually used dowsing rods myself, but I have seen it done. And it's kind of weird when you do see, you know, groups use that kind of thing. I'm very much a traditionalist psychical investigator, and I still believe, you know, dowsing rods and, you know, using mediums and all that. But you really don't see too many groups using things like dowsing rods these days. Now, Katie, usually a person that uses dowsing rods has some kind of, you know, sensitive ability. Do you possess anything like that?
I mean, if we're in a place that's really heavy with activity, mm-hmm. it usually affects me more than the rest of the members. I mean, I don't claim to be psychic by any means, but...
No, being sensitive is not psychic, so...
Right. I mean, I definitely am a lot more sensitive to the activity than the rest of my members, and... Okay. I'm really a big fan of the rods.
Okay.
Yeah, Katie, you are. I mean, you realize how many places we've been to, I mean, now over the course of several years. And by far, when you go to places, you really are the most sensitive, that things just seem to be drawn to you for some reason.
Yeah, I find that I have that happen to me, too. Things are kind of drawn to me when we investigate. Although I've never tried dowsing rods. Now, I know that with like things like pendulums that people use, supposedly the theory is that they have to belong to a certain person and they tune into that person's energy or whatever. Is it the same thing with dowsing rods, or could I take your dowsing rods and have them lead me around by the nose?
It's actually really funny that you say that, because people ask me if they can use them all the time, and the first thing I say is, you know, you can try, but it's very, very rare that they will work for anyone but me. We actually hosted an event at a hotel in New York, and we had about 25 guests at the event, all of who, you know, asked if they could look at them and ask a question, and not one of those 25 people was able to get a response, but they were going crazy for me all night.
Wow. And see, what a lot of people don't understand about dowsing rods is because when you look at a dowsing rods, I swear to God, it looks like somebody took a pair of coat hangers and bent them. And so then they would be really easy to influence. But that's not what's happening. They are like free floating, right?
Right. And when I use them, you can feel such a heavy pull. And it's not something I can explain to anyone else. It's just something you have to experience. But when they're moving, you know, like if there's something there, I can tell because I can feel them pulling in that direction. And when there's nothing there, I'll say, you know, I'm going to put them away because they're dead tonight.
Well, maybe I need to try it. Maybe I need to try them. That's something I have never, ever used. And I've watched other people use them. You know, and I have a pendulum, but I'll tell you what, I don't really use it because I think that I could probably really easily influence it if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something that's really that you can't control those dowsing rods because they just float around in that little metal thing. And so, you know, I mean, I suppose I could by like swinging my arms or something, but...
Yeah.
Right, but it would be so noticeable. It would look like you were, you know, if you moved your arms enough to actually move them, it would look like you were having a spasm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I have a question for you about some of the things that we've talked about, like a microphone cord picking up or moving dowsing rods or any of those things. So there's kind of a commonly held theory in among some paranormal investigators, probably arising from things that they've seen on television, that ghosts just don't have the ability to move anything more than, you know, something that weighs a couple of pounds.
I wish that were true.
So I wanted to ask what your thoughts were on that and what your experiences were with that.
I think it obviously it varies from case to case. You know, some investigations, you have something that's either really, really eager to make itself known, or, you know, something that for whatever reason, which, again, it's all theory, but some ghosts can, how do I want to say it, like, draw more energy or pull together more energy. And, mm-hmm. you know, the more they're pulling, the more they can do. You know, obviously, if you're getting, and we even speak this way on all of our investigations, we'll be getting interaction for a while, and then all of a sudden things just slowly start to die down, and, you know, we'll kind of say, oh, we must have tired it out. So I really think it just depends on how much energy they can gather up, and do they want to do that one big thing to make us jump, or do they want to talk to us for a while?
Right.
So do you think that it's kind of like a symbiotic relationship that humans have with the spirit world? They need us just as much as we need to believe in them.
That's actually a really cool way of putting it. But yeah, I do. I agree.
Well, yeah, and they gather, I believe that they can clearly gather energy from us, because mm-hmm. I've seen things where something has happened to create a lot of energy in the people, you know, where people go, oh, wow, did you see that? And you get kind of excited and you give off that energy, and then something bigger happens because I think they can take that energy. Yeah. So I do believe that they do that, but also can't they take other energy from their environment, you know, from your instrumentation perhaps, or, you know, Rick and I were talking, I believe, before the show even started about investigating in the dark, and Rick was saying, well, you know, that's one of the reasons I don't like to go dark, is because they've got that energy there that they can gather, and you can see things coming at you and that type of thing. So do you guys go dark on your investigations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost, I would say almost all the time that we always usually go dark.
Yeah.
So why do you choose to go dark on the investigations?
Go ahead, Katie.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I just think that when you're in the dark, it just, in my opinion, I'm keeping it like that. It just seems the activity will come out more at that time. I mean, I would think once in a while we'll keep the lights on, but usually it just seems like something's there.
To add to that,
yeah.
I think when we're in the dark, too, we're a lot more, like, aware of our surroundings. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the darker and quieter you go, the more aware you are of what's going on around you. Not to mention that things like light anomalies and things like that are going to be easier to see in the dark than they are in the light. It's kind of like turning a flashlight on outside during the day. Do you know
see
what I mean?
Now I agree with that, but when for the most part, when people do catch a light anomaly on camera or video or whatever, it almost seems as if it's sort of, you know, oh no, it's a bug, or it's, you know, whatever, you know, until you've actually seen these things flying at you in a dark room and just zipping around your head and giving you an awesome light show, you can't really appreciate the light anomaly, you know, as much as you can just seeing it on film, because, you know, people, they just say, oh no, that's a bug. It's like, well, no, it's not, you know, there's right. actually something there.
So. Right, exactly. And it's, I mean, obviously something like that is going to be so much easier to see in the dark because it's going to illuminate. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So, you know, you guys use a lot of technical equipment, which is pretty awesome, because, you know, not only I'm not only the acting lead investigator in my group right now, but I've also been the tech guy. Now, you guys, obviously, you set up, you know, all the cameras and all that. When it comes to thermal imager, I love our thermal imager. Do you guys use one, and what kind do you use?
Thermal imager?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just jumped back on.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just saying that not only am I the acting lead investigator, but I'm also the tech guy for my group. And it's like everybody just loves the thermal imager when they get to use it. Do you guys use anything like that?
Actually, we don't have a thermal imager right now.
Oh, okay.
In the very near future, we are planning on buying one. It was just a matter of getting the right one.
Sure.
The ones we were looking at were, you know, they're kind of the low-end model, and they just weren't going to cut it for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So rather than, you know, waste our money on, you know, something that we're really not going to use that much, we just kind of waited. So now we're just about ready to purchase it.
Sure.
So, you know, I have to tell you, I was skeptical about the use of laser grids until very recently. Do you guys ever use those, like in a darkened room to see what's going on?
Sure, absolutely.
Have you had some success with the laser grids?
Very little. I mean, once in a great while, we'll get a little action, and, you know, it doesn't seem to pick it up on the camera all the time either.
No, it's not picked up. You're right. For filming a television show, I don't necessarily know that it'd be great, but I will tell you, I have sat and watched a laser grid at one point and could swear to God I was watching a ghost rave.
That's funny.
complete with E.
It's like the Matrix.
That's right. A ghost rave minus the music, because you could see these black things like moving in through, and it was a stationary laser grid. It wasn't moving itself, but you could see the systematic and also sort of random movements going through this whole grid. It was really weird.
Really?
Yeah. So I like them. I think that if you're going to be investigating in a place that's really, really dark, and it's a big enough place that you can sit, you know, several yards back and get a sense of the whole grid out in front of you, you can see some kind of cool things. I think if you're in the midst of the grid, you don't necessarily see it as well. But if you can sit back and look at it, you definitely can. So,
well, if you get a chance, try a double grid.
We did, yeah. Yeah, we did. That was when I watched the ghost rave. It was a double grid. I know. So, talk a little bit about the show. I haven't been able to watch a full episode of the show. Cheryl tells me that it was on the ghostdetectives.tv website, and apparently I just am inept at navigating my way to actually watch full episodes of the show. So can you talk a little bit about your show?
Lee?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, the show, we just created the show towards the beginning of the year, and you can catch us on ghostdetectives.tv. We're also on Facebook. We're just wrapping up season one right now.
Okay. Now, you know, with you guys' show, do you guys have absolute, you know, creative license to it? Pretty much you could do whatever you want without having a bunch of producers, you know, hounding you.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we produce the whole show ourselves. We do have a professional editor that works with us. His name is Jeff Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little bit of a hook in the beginning and the end. We have one of our investigators, we call him Detective Vincent. I don't know if you've seen any of the episodes yet.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a gumshoe detective. Mike, say hello.
Hello.
Oh, are we in the presence of the actual film noir detective?
Oh, yes, you are.
Awesome. Oh, I'm in the presence of greatness.
Woo-hoo. Right on.
Okay. This is Detective Vincent in person. I'm also Mikey, the guy who got touched.
Yeah, Mikey touched and talked about.
Yeah, I could tell you a funny story with that.
Sure.
When it had happened, the Diabolus had spit the words out so quick that it really didn't make too much sense at the time. And our editor was kind of going through the footage, and I got a text message at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, "I'm freaking out." So I didn't know what had happened. I thought maybe something went wrong with the footage, and he had lost something in the middle of editing, and I called him up at 3 in the morning, and he replayed the Obulus, what it said to me over the recordings, and I was freaking out right along with him.
So when you were being touched, because what I've discovered is that there are varying degrees of being touched, from, you know, almost barely thinking, did I just feel that, to holy crap, what just jabbed me in the ribs. So what was it?
To basically what Dan Aykroyd experienced in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It was kind of strange. It felt kind of like a woman's finger rubbing down the back of my neck.
Oh,
yeah, it was eerie. Not that that should be eerie. That should be a good thing, but it felt eerie at the moment. And first, I wasn't sure. Maybe I was a cobweb, but no, it was definitely not a cobweb. It was a touch.
Well, and when it was narrating it along as it was doing it, I would say, yeah, that makes it more likely that it probably was.
Now, let me ask you something. When you felt this touch, was it cold?
It was. I'm actually trying to remember exactly. It was. I don't remember that it was exactly cold, but it was just weird, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had a touch on my bare skin before. It's always been, you know, through whatever I happen to be wearing, because I always usually wear lots and lots of clothes when I investigate, apparently. So.
Yeah, it freaked me out. And right after that episode is when we got to the top of the steps, when we left the dungeon basement there. It's when it said up, you know, when the actually obvious, it said upstairs.
So. Yeah. That was cool, too.
And there was a couple other strange things that day that happened. We were upstairs in a room that was an art room, like, for children. And we were leaving that area. The obelisk actually said art.
Oh,
okay.
Wow, I need to, you know what? Maybe I need to work with the obelisk more. Because, like I say, I've sort of, my opinion of it, up until right this very minute when we're having this conversation, has been that it's a really cool gadget, but that it hasn't really produced much. So,
Well, it it almost seemed, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it almost seems like with the Ovilus that it is something that you really can't disprove unless you sit, you know, like a nerd for hours on end putting all this stuff. It's like, I'm going to ask this question and I'm going to get this answer. It's not something you can easily disprove. Would you find that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it easy to disprove in your opinion or not?
It really depends. I mean, if you're having direct responses into that same line of questioning, it's pretty hard to disprove.
You sure.
know, you're getting intelligent responses.
That's
However,
true.
However, if you get just random words, we just dismiss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I one time on mine got Jim hurt. My husband's name is Jim, and I sort of noticed it, and I thought, I wonder if he's okay. And when I got home from the investigation that night, he limped toward me. He had actually, around the time that I got Jim hurt, had whacked his calf muscle and actually torn his calf at the house. So I kind of, that's the only thing I've ever gotten in an ovalis. It was kind of significant, but, you know, you could chalk it up to coincidence because, you know, Jim Hurt is not, you know, oh my God, your husband Jim just ripped his calf muscle or something. So.
Right. Strange coincidence.
Yeah, it is. It is a very interesting coincidence. And I think when you're analyzing any kind of evidence, you have to ask yourself where that threshold is between coincidence and, you know, hey, we've got something here. So where do you think that line is?
I think that's the correct line of questioning. I really do. I mean, if you can't prove that, I mean, if you're asking a specific question and it answers you, you know?
Yes.
And then you ask another one, and then it's, you know, giving you more feedback that's along those same lines, then I think you have something.
Yeah.
No, most definitely.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so, you know, I was going to say something. This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I think I was on your last show. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead. What did you want to add?
I was just going to say, you're talking about the ovulus. You know, one thing, like you're saying, some things, it shoots out like butter, apples, stuff like that, which doesn't really have any significance. But we were doing we did a TV show for the Animal Planet, and we were in the monster bar where a guy was shot at the top of the stairs, fell down the steps, crawled to the corner, and he died in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were there, it came out with, they were asking some questions, and the ovulus came out with whacked and stairs. Now, whacked wasn't in the dictionary, and we thought, that's your typical mob term, whacked.
We already covered that.
Oh, sorry. See, I was listening and I didn't hear that. Okay, go ahead.
It's okay.
We already covered that. It's okay.
I just want to know how many people you guys have crammed in there. Just keep pulling new people out.
They just added me.
Somebody else is there, too. Yeah, there's about seven of us. We're switching phones around. I told Katie, just keep calling. She said, no, you get on in there. I go and tell the same story.
You know what? We actually have enough people now to officially have a karaoke contest.
Yes, we do. Katie is the karaoke queen. Yes,
I'm not allowed to sing for people.
No,
I
you're
won't
not,
sing
Karen.
For people.
No. I sang once on the radio show, and you know it was a horrible, horrible thing, wasn't it, Cheryl?
It was
no comment.
Painful.
Sorry.
It was brutal.
It was painful.
Brutal.
Don't give up your day job, right?
Oh, I would never consider giving up my day job for the job of a torch singer, because I would never make any money. I'd have to pay people to listen to me, and probably
I hear you.
Let's do this. We need to go to break. When we come back, you guys kindly sent us several EVPs. So when we come back from break, we're going to play mine and Rick's favorite game, because what we do is we don't listen to the EVPs ahead of time.
Yes.
And then we try and guess what they are. And I'm really, really bad at it. So
good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with NEPA Paranormal. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
All right.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Hi, it's John here from Haunted Cornwall FM in the UK. We will be on Z-Talk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalise, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on Z-Talk, 3 till 5 Eastern.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. I'm the intern. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day,
including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
We all know people who aren't sure where their next meal is coming from.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
3. I work at the coffee shop around the corner.
2. I'm your babysitter. I care for your children.
1. I'm your grandmother's friend. We play bingo together.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
I got.
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
All right, and we are back at Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Joining us tonight is Nipa Paranormal. You know, there's quite a few of your members here tonight, so let's just, you know, kind of like go around and say who's who.
Roll call.
Okay. I'm Bob Christopher. I'm the lead investigator, co-founder of Nipa Paranormal Ghost Detectives.
I'm Kathy Christopher. I'm Bob Slice, and I'm an investigator for Nipa Paranormal.
I am Katie Christopher. Bob and Kathy are my parents. I am an investigator, and I'm also the group's case manager.
I'm Lee, and I'm also a lead investigator.
And I'm Hugh Downs.
And we still have more.
Okay, sorry.
Hi, I'm David Conklin. I am an investigator and videographer for the show Ghost Detectives.
Hi, Michael Belveduto, Detective Vincent, and also an investigator.
Okay, and I'm Mark Robinson. I'm an investigator and audio manager for Ghost Detectives.
Is that Steve Barry? Nope, there's me.
Okay, oh go God, Steve!
Hey, go Steve!
It's like a rap
Steve
concert.
Barry, and I'm an investigator.
I'd like to give a shout-out for Jeff Crawford. He's our editor, just so everybody knows.
Hi, Jeff.
Does a great job getting everything done for us.
Great. So we have you guys are all kind of in the same area. So if people are wondering that there's a little bit of feedback when you talk, you all sound a little echoey, like we're in this great big giant stadium. That's it. We are. No, it's because your phone connections are close to one another, and so you're going to get a little echoing, which is just fine. Everything's perfectly understandable, but just so people sort of have an idea of what's going on. So Bob, when we were coming back from break just before, you brought up something that you're going to be doing for season two. So why don't you talk about that?
Okay. For season two of Ghost Detectives, all Pennsylvania paranormal teams, we are bringing together for paranormal unity. We're bringing these PA teams onto our show to showcase their groups, work with us, do one of their haunts, you know, showcase some of their evidence, and just get them a lot more exposure.
I think that is absolutely terrific. As I was saying at break, I think that we need more of that in the field. And I think that when you work with other teams, if you can get past the differences in the way people investigate, because people do have different theories and different belief systems and everything else with investigation, I think that other teams can give you such fresh energy and bring such fantastic things that enhances your investigation. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You could see the enthusiasm. I mean, we've already worked with one group, and you know their enthusiasm was just, it's incredible. You could see the passion that everybody has in their group for this.
And that's the other thing, is that you guys are a real group. You're not TV people. You're a real group who happen to do a show. And you're working with real groups who are going to be on your show. And so I think that's fantastic that there is a different kind of enthusiasm there from some of the real groups. And I think that's great that you're sharing that with people. I think people need to see that and understand the passion that we have for the paranormal, all of us, because that's why we're all here.
That's right. Yeah. It just feels just right now it's too competitive, too territorial. We need to break these walls down. You know, there's a lot to learn from each other.
Now,
I was just agreeing. Oh, sorry about that. When I think of the paranormal unity thing, the reason I think it's a great idea is because you have kind of like two ways of doing things. You got some groups who are, you know, very much on the spiritual side, and then you have on the other side of the spectrum, you have people who are like completely tech. And it's kind of weird how the two clash, and they can be completely and totally and utterly close-minded to, you know, people who are completely tech just using any kind of spiritual, or people who are spiritual using any kind of tech. You guys ever run into anything like that?
Oh, sure. You know, we actually have two sides to our group. I mean, we have psychics that we work with, and we kind of separate groups when we go. You know, three will go with this group, three will go with another group, and we pretty much won't talk to each other all night. And then at the end of the night, we kind of compare everything and see if we can tie anything together.
Very
Excellent.
Good. Yeah. So I think it is time to play the EVP game, because you guys have sent over several EVPs. And like I say, I'm really, really bad at picking them out, although occasionally I shock myself. So, Cheryl, you have loaded up their EVPs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so here's...
Karen, hang on 1 second. Okay, now for bragging rights tonight, since we have so many of them, I have my name written down as well as yours, and I'm going to be making hash marks. So for bragging rights, we're going to know who is the winner for real
tonight. I'm sure you're going to be the winner for real. So here's how we play, everybody. Cheryl is going to not tell us what anybody thinks the EVP says, but she may ask you if she can get you to tell, without revealing what it says, the situation surrounding the EVP. You may have to listen to it once, and that's fine, too. So I'll turn it over to Cheryl and let her direct the competition.
Great. I can't wait, Karen.
Team Karen. Everybody in turquoise, Team Karen. That's what I'm wearing tonight. That is Team Karen. That's right. It's the World Cup of EVPs.
Well, I'm sorry, Rick, but I'm also wearing turquoise, and I'm not making that up. So.
I really am. You know what? Okay. I'm slightly colorblind, so I don't think I've ever actually seen the color turquoise. So.
Oh,
man. So it's all good.
Well, yes, I have about 7 EVPs that Nipa sent over, and I'm going to play them once, and then we can come back, and if you guys want to have a guess at what's being said, and then maybe Bob or Katie or someone else can set up what was going on when they were captured, and we'll play it one more time after, and then get the final verdict.
Okay, I would like to amend the rules. I would like to have Rick and I be able to ask to hear them at least a couple times, because sometimes it takes me a couple times.
That works. Okay, all right. Let's this, all right. This first one, when I listened to on my headset, it was kind of hard to hear, so the listeners might want to turn up their speakers on this one. All right, here we go.
Who's here with us?
Was that it?
Yes.
I'm going to need to hear that again. I'd like a mulligan, please.
Okay, here we go. One more time.
Who's here with us?
No idea.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that one, too.
It's a, probably a whisper. Maybe one more time.
You want me to play it one more time, or do you want...
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, can I jump in really quick? It sounds like the recording's cut off, because what's supposed to be there isn't.
Oh no.
Okay. Oh, no. All right.
That explains it.
Looks like Katie gets the mulligan.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's all right. Moving on.
Yes, let's move on to the next one. All right. It won't let me. It doesn't like me. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go.
Is there anybody here with us?
Is it like it says several words?
Yeah.
Is it a woman's voice saying several words?
Yeah.
It's 2 words.
Okay, say it again. Do it again.
Is there anybody here with us?
Santa Claus.
Oh.
hold on a second. Did it really say that?
No.
No, but it's fairly close. When you hear what it actually is, you're going to understand why she said that.
I heard Santa Claus. Okay, one more time. Let's see.
Oh. Hold on. Okay, here we go.
Is there anybody here with us?
I still hear Santa. Okay. What is it?
It's actually the voice you're hearing at the very end, and it's a woman that we believe is saying her name, which is Anna Krista.
I was close with Santa.
Karen, I think you're...
I totally get it.
Santa.
But Karen, you know, I think you're hearing something before the actual EVP. I think you're honed in on something before the EVP.
Okay, is that what I'm hearing?
I think so.
Hold on a second. You know what, Karen? I'm going to give this one to you because I didn't hear a thing, and you got pretty close, so one for you.
1 point.
It's right at the end. Yeah, right at the end you can hear her. She almost has like an accent.
Hmm. Okay, play it one more time now. Robin said she heard an accent.
Sorry, are we ready?
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
Is there anybody here with us?
Anna, that time I did hear Anna. Yeah. Interesting. So where did you guys
Karen?
Capture that?
Oh, sorry.
Actually, we picked it up at an old tuberculosis hospital that's close to our house.
Okay. All right. Okay. So next one.
Okay. Here's the next one.
I need to hear it again. It's yeah. A male voice. I hear Florida.
You see, now, but that's what I hear, too.
It's a tie, then.
Oh, okay.
Is it something Florida?
Here,
but I hear something before Florida.
Yeah, there's something before it. Here, I'm going to play it again.
Is this
Florida?
Something
Florida. I can't make out the first part. Is it actually Florida?
We pulled the word Florida out of it. We actually didn't get the beginning either. So something Florida is exactly what we heard.
Oh, see, Rick, we're doing pretty good tonight.
Yeah, well, actually, it kind of sounds like, is this Florida?
Oh, that's
I thought it was get to Florida.
Yeah, it actually get to actually makes more sense the problem is that the consonants aren't very crisp, so it's hard to tell for sure. So where did you guys capture that?
That was in Muncie. That was actually one of our first. It was our first show for Ghost Detectives, and to take that a little further, one of the uniforms that this guy collected. The guy actually trained in Florida at a camp down there.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we were actually thinking, that it might be associated with him.
Interesting. Hmm. Which would make what Rick said, the is this Florida, actually make sense.
Hmm. Okay, Robin's asking in the chat room a question that could make sense.
She says, Robin Marie in the chat room wants to know, is it a hospital?
No, actually it was... Where we got that?
Uh-huh.
No, that was... it was a residence, but in his backyard, he built, like, a museum to hold all his war relics and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Ready for the next one?
Okay. Here we go.
Where are you?
I intend you no harm. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. I hear the whisper very clearly in it. I thought it said something like, I'm touching your arms, but I need to hear it again.
Rick, what do you think?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Are you?
I intend you no harm. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Norm.
Touching your arm.
I'm going.
You were closer the first time.
Thank you, Norm. What?
You were closer the first time.
Ah, okay. What is it?
It actually, what we believe it's saying, we intend you no harm.
Oh,
so touching
your
arm rhymes.
Yeah, I was gonna actually guess harm because I thought that was it, but then I went back and decided I went into my cheers mode and decided it was Norm. Okay.
Hold on a second. Let's go to the judges. Cheryl, who gets that round?
I'm gonna have to say Rick.
Okay, yeah. So now we're 2-for-2. All right.
I changed my answer. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, you want me to play it again, or you want to go on to the next one?
No, we've already judged
we're
this
past
round.
That.
We're moving
we're past
on.
That. Okay, here we go. Here's an interesting one.
Broomsticks.
I heard
was that
sex
a person?
And Satan.
Was that?
Oh my God, Rick!
Why did I
hear
so disturbed?
Satan?
We better hear that again.
First of all, I just have to say I'm blown away, Karen. Blown away. Okay, I'm gonna play it again.
Broomsticks, something stakes. No.
I think it's Satan. Remove and stakes. Sex.
It's sex and Satan.
No.
Is it really?
No, it's
no,
not.
She's
it's
actually 100% right.
Yeah, Karen's right.
I should get like a 50 points for bonus on that.
Seriously, that's like bonus round right there, Karen.
Yes, but I did bring the funny on that, so I do get some.
I mean, that's exciting. That one was actually really, really clear, and it sounded like somebody just sitting there talking in their room. So where would you be that somebody would say broomsticks and something stakes?
It was actually a pretty interesting case. We were in an inn at the time, and we picked this up when we were walking through the hallway, and to us it sounded like children, which mm-hmm. didn't really go with any of the claims that we had heard. And then later on, when we took the evidence and gave it to the client, she says, you know, where did you pick it up? And we told her, and she said, that used to be the children's wing.
Oh. Huh. So I wonder if it was like a little nursery rhyme, part of a nursery rhyme or something?
That's what we're thinking. Or maybe like playing some kind of like word association game. Like, I'll say broom, you say sticks. I'll say this, you say stakes. Do you know? Like, I can't explain it.
Yeah, it was because you're right, because it's kind of chanting and playful. So
that's what? I was like, you know, and now that I think about it, I was listening to My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult shortly before the show, and I think Sex and Satan is a song, so that's where I got it from.
Negative 2 points for you.
Oh, damn.
For making children say sex and Satan. Oh. Okay, so we have one more?
I believe we have two more.
Okay, so Rick, you have a chance to tie this up, and then if we're tied, we have the tiebreaker.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
So let Rick go first after we play this one.
Okay, and then I can just draft on his answer.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here
awesome.
We go.
Okay, see, it's right there now.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, I.
Which
I
one
thought...
was it? Is it the whisper or is it the little ba 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 at the end?
The whisper.
Okay.
Oh, and now I heard the word question.
I'm going to need to hear it again. I hear ask me a question and Fabio.
Now, speaking of sex and Satan, yeah, I definitely hear the word question, and it sounded like can I or may I ask a question?
What do we got?
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
we actually got we are watching out of it.
Wow.
Really?
No points awarded in this round.
No points at all.
You can tie. It's okay, so where did you capture this one?
This was at another private home, and just asking some general questions, and you know, obviously something knew we were there.
Very cool. Okay, Rick, go mm-hmm. ahead. Did somebody else have something to add?
Hold on, nope. I was going to tell it was just a really quiet night. I mean, nothing was happening. It was dead. And then, like I said, you go over that, and then we hear that. You know, that was very unnerving.
So, okay, this is Rick's last chance to tie it up.
No pressure, Rick.
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Here we go.
Oh, you know, wait. Somebody in the chat room agrees with me, and they heard Fabio, too. Oh, yeah.
Still no points on that one.
I know. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Is there anybody that likes to go and sit by on the wall by the little pool down on the hillside? By the big trees? I don't know if there was trees there when you were there, but...
Shut up.
Shut up!
I said it first.
I said it first. Nicole said it.
Rick tied it up. Sorry.
I said it first.
I said it too. That's not how it works. We both give our answer.
You
kind of
did say it at the same time.
And if we both get it, we both get a point.
Okay, so was that the last one then?
That was it.
Oh, Karen, you totally got me.
Let me play it one more time, and then Katie can tell us about it. Here we go.
Is there anybody that likes to go and sit by on the wall by the little pool down on the hillside? By the big trees. I don't know if there was trees there when you were there, but...
Boy, that's clear.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I laughed every time I hear that. It's one of my favorite pieces we've ever gotten.
Yeah, because you always tell Mike to shut up. That's funny.
I do. I'm not going to lie. I'm tough on these guys sometimes.
So tell us why someone was telling Mike to shut up.
We actually picked this up at the same place we got an earlier EVP we played, which was the tuberculosis hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking along this path, and down the hill we found this really tiny, like, reflecting pool. And one of our investigators decided he was going to go down there and poke around and see what he could find. And he has his very own unique style of investigating, which usually involves a lot of rambling about very random things, like the color of the trees in front of him and things like that. And I always tell him about it. So when we had him rambling on and something to tell him to shut up, I just can't let him live that down.
Oh, my favorite EVP I've ever gotten, I actually have two. One of them is... you hear the investigator, it's a male investigator, and he asks a series of questions. What do you think of Karen? What do you think of this person? And then he says, what do you think of me? And it says, asshole.
You know,
I love that one.
I think we were talking about that one night, because I had one similar to that. I asked the question, why is the boy special? Or why are you here? Are you here to protect him? And the spirit actually says, the boy is special. Get out of my house, you asshole. Get out right now. That was the coolest EVP I have ever caught.
That's really, really long.
That's wild.
Yep. Very, very cool EVP.
Huh. Wow. Well, and then the other one that I really like is that you hear this investigator, and she's just bitching. She's bitching. You guys are going to make me walk down there. I don't want to walk down there. And as she's talking about this voice goes, you suck. I love it when they call you on your crap. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. Those EVPs were actually pretty good, because I usually don't score very well, but that broomsticks and stakes, or the sex and Satan as Rick calls it, that was like one of the clearer ones I've ever heard.
Yeah, we were pretty surprised by it. Actually, speaking of lengthy EVPs, and it's a good thing Bob didn't send this one, because it was in a different language and you just never would have gotten it.
Language was it?
Did it say Mekaleka Hi, Mecha Hi, Niho? Because I would have gotten that.
No. It actually was in Pennsylvania Dutch. It was something we caught in Gettysburg.
Hmm.
And it was about four sentences long. It was just this...
Wow.
Loud speaking, but it sounded so slurred and garbled. I'm thinking, what in the world is this? And we heard it on the investigation. It wasn't something we heard later on.
That was actually an EVP.
Right. And
Wow, cool.
Yeah, I actually went and got my dad. I got my dad. Everybody's laughing at me now, because that's what everybody makes fun of me for, going and getting my father. But I woke him up in the middle of the night, and I said, you have to get up, because I think something just yelled at me in German, which is pretty interesting, because Pennsylvania Dutch and German are very, very similar.
Yeah, you know what, and I was going to say that I actually speak a little bit of German, so I wish you guys would have shown that.
Oh, you might have done good.
He would have tied, and then we would have had to go to one of my EVPs that I know what they say as a tiebreaker.
Oh.
Perhaps. Hey, did you guys listen to the top of the show?
No, we didn't. We were actually all worried about making sure the computer was set up.
So, Cheryl, play the kid EVP and see if any of them can get it.
All right, let me find the kid EVP. I have it around here somewhere. Kid EVP.
This is you guys now. You guys get to compete the way we do. And I will tell you that this will make your whole EVP and evidence analysis process much more entertaining and exciting if you turn it into a quiz show.
This is fun. I'm actually like, I'm staring everybody down right now because I'm totally going to win.
Okay, I've got it ready to go.
Okay, so you're going to hear a child ask, what's your favorite animal? Because we were doing kids ghost camp.
Okay.
And then you'll hear a response. So here we go.
What's your favorite animal?
Did you hear it? First of all, I have to tell you that when you do a kid's ghost camp, kids do not sit still, which is all the banging. But you can still pick out a voice that sounds like another kid saying it. Did you guys hear it? You want to hear it again?
Yeah. Yeah. Play it one more time.
What's your favorite animal?
Do you hear it? Clear as day, right there at the end.
Oh, at the very end?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like I want to go home.
Okay, you guys want to hear it one more time now that you know where it is?
Yeah, once,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, definitely.
You have to ignore the banging. That's the kids being kids.
Okay.
And Karen, I have to add, when I first listened to this, I thought it was actually a little girl, just a normal little girl saying something.
It is a little girl, but it's a dead little girl.
Yeah,
right.
It sounded just like, okay, here we go.
What's your favorite animal?
A tiger.
Yay!
Oh, got nice.
It. Got it.
Yeah. Good who thing was Mark's that? Our audio specialist.
Oh,
yeah, that's
Mark.
That's why he does it.
It was Tiger. Yeah, excellent. He could have probably figured out that
that's Mark. Our audio specialist, our audio manager.
All right, see,
we promoted him for a reason.
So all I'm saying, guys, is team meetings. When you have your team meetings where you do your evidence reveals to one another, if you turn it into a game, it's really fun.
I think we're going to have to make some changes because it's usually like a really heated debate.
Yeah, right.
And I'm very stubborn, so it usually doesn't end well.
Rick wants to know what the creepy whispering is. That's those kids moving around. That's their clothes rubbing. They, honest to God, did not say. I had to listen to 20 minutes of that as I reviewed that to find the EVP for them. While they were still doing camp, and for 20 minutes I listened to that bang bang.
Yeah, I keep hearing like creepy whispering in the background, and I'm just kind of wondering what, you know, what that is.
That's the kids.
Do you guys hear that?
Yeah, I actually, that's why when she said it was at the end, I wanted her to play it again, because I caught a whisper in the middle, and I thought I missed it, and then she said it was at the end, I'm like, okay, now I need to hear it again, because I was listening to the wrong thing.
Yeah, there's kind of a whisper.
No, that's not. That was all the kids' move. But for those of you who are listening to this show within the sound of our voice right now, you all now understand that certain things can sound like whispers, and that's why I say whispers are the orbs of EVPs. Unless they're very...
You can get an EVP through a cell phone. I've done it. I went to a house in Greeley, PA, that I was investigating, and you took a cell phone, called from my house, which was about 10 miles away, and I get a lot of EVPs in this house, and I had him put the cell phone on the top of the stairs where I always get the EVPs.
Yeah.
And I asked them if they were there, and we got a reply. We had a recorder right next to the cell phone. We got a reply saying, yes, we're here.
Wow. We got one through Skype once. What was that? I'm sorry.
I called from 10 miles away when they called. From my house to the other house.
We got one while we were doing our show one night over Skype. The Boppy incident. It's a long story. But yeah, definitely. So, guys, we're just about out of time, and so I wanted to give any of you the opportunity to let our listeners know anything you wanted. Give out your websites again. Tell them where and when they can see the TV show, or anything else. So whoever wants to do that, go.
Okay, couple different websites. Our NEPA Paranormal website, NEPAParanormal.com. For our TV show, our website is ghostdetectives.tv, and we are also on Facebook under Ghost Detectives. So anybody who's listening, please like us. Every 100 likes that we get, we give away a t-shirt. And even if you're not local, we'll ship it out. So
I totally liked you guys today, so I hope to God I get a t-shirt. That'd be awesome.
I think we can work something out with you guys.
Just to add one more to that, we are also on Twitter, so you can see what we're tweeting about or what we're talking about.
Very good. Okay. Cool. NEPA Paranormal, and I would call you all by name, but there's just so many of you. I want to thank you guys all for coming on. It's been absolutely terrific. So we're going to go to break. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Teresa West is going to join us, and we're going to do our lightning round. So we'll be right back, Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Stick around.
I know what you are. You drive too fast. You smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Kale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be. Join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
Did you know that you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the Z-Talk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ZTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Rick and I at the last minute are like, you bring us back, and I think we both said it at the same time. So I thought about, you know, sitting here in a face-off and not saying anything and seeing if Rick would blink first. But I thought that would be awkward for our listeners.
You know, a Mexican standoff on the radio.
We've already had our little power struggle this evening, and I won. So I have no need to. I have no need to continue to prove my superiority. So welcome back. I do.
That was fun. That was fun, guys.
Yeah, always. I love doing the EVP. You, every guest that comes on, even if they're not ghost people, you should make them send us like 20 EVPs, and we can just take up the whole time with the EVP contest and ignore the guests.
All right,
I'll try. Okay.
That'll actually work for me.
That'll get us lots of guests. I'm sure lots of people will be just beating down the door to come on to our show. You know what? One night, that's what we should do. We should dedicate an entire show to the EVP contest. With different people's EVPs.
Yeah.
That would be fun. So, Miss Teresa West has joined us.
Okay, I have a huge lag, so I'm going to refresh real quick.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
This is going to probably kick her off. So, Rick sent me a really plaintive email today because Rick really, really loves the lightning round.
I do, and when she said that we were going to have it, I'm not kidding you, my hands waved in the air like a Muppet.
Did you do jazz hands? Woo, jazz hands.
I was like Kermit the Frog. Yay!
And so Tanner and I were driving up to Tacoma, which is about an hour north of here, at about 3:30 this afternoon because we had to take a saxophone in for it to be fixed. Or not, you know, every summer we get it cleaned and stuff. So as we're driving back, it's now like 4:30 in the afternoon or so, and Tanner says to me, are you doing the show tonight? And I was like, oh, I forgot. I completely forgot about the show. And then I remembered I had promised Rick lightning round questions.
Yeah.
So I drove home really fast because I didn't want to disappoint you.
Thank you. I do love doing it. It's...
I know, and Teresa likes doing the lightning round too. So
I
we just
love lightning round.
That's right. We just have three question answerers tonight: Teresa, Rick, and Cheryl. And Cheryl claims that she has no prepared answers, but she's always amazing at this. So you know, this is when you get to see that Cheryl is not just somebody that Rick and I pick on constantly. She's also a very funny and intelligent woman in her own right.
What do you want, Karen? What do you want?
We'll talk later. Okay, so. Yeah. On to the lightning round. Here we go. So the Daily Mail reported on Tuesday that a 63-year-old man from Glendale, California. Oh, this just hurts. I can barely bring myself to say this. He used a butter knife to try and remove his own umbilical hernia in a do-it-yourself project gone awry. Oh, so God. Here's what I want to know. Have you ever worked on a do-it-yourself project and it didn't come out so well? Teresa?
Well, not one as serious as this.
Not one with blood involved?
Yeah, or hernias or, you know, umbilicus and stuff like that. When I was growing up, my mother was really particular about home projects. And after I'd worked at Home Depot for 5 years, she still wouldn't let me paint. So, so I don't have anything that came out badly because I never got to do anything.
So I was going to tell you, I didn't write this in the question, but I want to tell you guys before we move on to Rick and Cheryl with this answer. So the police arrive at this guy's apartment, right? Or his home or whatever. And he's covered in blood and he's got this knife stuck in his belly button, but with just the hilt of the knife sticking out. And as they come in, no, I'm not done. This is the best part, okay? So as they come in, the police and the ambulance, the guy pulls the knife out of his belly button and sticks a cigarette in it.
No. Are you serious?
Right, that's what the story said.
Makes me want to go back to smoking again.
Oh, I know. Who needs a
Makes
stoma?
Me when quit.
Who needs a stoma when you can smoke through your belly button? That's all I'm saying. So, Rick, do-it-yourself projects gone awry?
Yeah, well, actually, it was me and my father-in-law. We tried to fix my car door once, and he set not only my car on fire, but he set me on fire as well.
Oh, my God.
That was the first of two times he set me on fire, so...
Wow. So you let it happen again after the first time.
My father-in-law, yeah.
Oh, Lord. So, Cheryl?
Generally, anybody around me doesn't let me do anything, like, creative, because it never turns out quite right, and I don't blame them.
But not allowed to use tools.
One thing, and if Chad were here, he'd probably be laughing hysterically, but I tried to fix the garage, the door leading from the garage to the house, which is connected. I don't know, the weather somehow was making the panel part from the door. So I thought, I can fix this myself. I wish I had a picture I could show you of what it looked like after I tried to fix it, because you probably couldn't believe the end result.
Probably looked like me when I would fix something.
Make sure to ask Chad about it next week, because
he can tell you. In the strange but true category, I actually worked for a long time as a chiropractic assistant in a chiropractic office, and my boss just thought that the sun rose and set on me and I could do anything. And so I didn't want to let him think otherwise. Well, the copy machine broke, and he said to me, "Karen, fix the copier." Well, I have no effing clue about any of this. I am the least mechanically inclined person. We have in Washington State the Washington pre-college test that you take. When I took the Washington pre-college test, I scored in the 98th percentile on everything except for spatial relations and mechanical reasoning. That's how big of a moron I am when it comes to mechanics. So I open this copier, and I pull out all this stuff. I fixed it.
Excellent.
I don't know how I did it. I could probably never do it again, but I fixed it. Okay, ready for the next question, you guys? So this one comes from MSNBC, and they report that, and I wrote this question for Chad, and he's too tired to come on, so I'm sad. They report that a team of American scientists believe that they have found the lost city of Atlantis, and it's in Spain's mud flats that are quite a ways away from the sea, and they say that the city had been washed away by a tsunami and buried. So they found this by taking clues from Plato's detailed description of Atlantis, and they located what they believe is a site. Here's what I want to know. Do you think that they actually found Atlantis? And if they didn't, what did they find? We'll start with Rick.
You know, being that I am a cultural diffusionist, alternative views of archaeology and anthropology, I would say that they might not have found Atlantis, but they may have found something. There are still cities that are all around that are still underwater or whatever, but Atlantis, I don't know, but they may have found a lost city, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Teresa, what do you think?
I think Atlantis lives in Plato's mind.
Okay.
I'm with Rick. I think that they probably found a city that was covered by a tsunami, but I'm not so sure about Atlantis.
Okay. Now, if they find, like, you know, spaceships and stuff like that, then yeah, it's like, all right, maybe it is Atlantis, because apparently they flew spaceships around. So.
Or Aquaman.
Yeah.
Right. I went and read an article about this, and in the comments somebody said maybe they'll find a Stargate there.
That'd be awesome. Okay, so Cheryl, what do you think?
I mean, I'd like to think that there was a real Atlantis at one time. I don't know, but I don't know what they uncovered in Spain. Obviously, they think it was something. So whether it's Atlantis or a lost city or what have you, there's something there.
Now, how do they figure that out? Is there a sign that says, "Welcome to Atlantis, population 10,000?
No, they used the clues that Plato used to describe it, and there was something about rings and circular stuff, but I'm not Chad, because I was hoping that Chad would further elucidate us. So let's just move on to the next question, because I've got to tell you, if you listen carefully, it has a wonderful pun in it. So police in Bonneau, South Carolina, and I doubt I've pronounced that right, Bonneau, B-O-N-N-E-A-U, not B-O-N-O. They ticketed a 65-year-old woman because she was driving a vehicle that had those fake rubber testicles hanging from the bumper. Well, here's what happened. The police chief claims that those testicles are in violation of the city's decency laws. And the woman says it was just self-expression. Are you ready for the absolute best pun ever? I want to know what form of vehicle... Let me start over. I want to know what forms of vehicular self-expression drive you nuts. Cheryl.
Well, I mean, if you're going with the whole, mud flap thing, that the woman, you know, the naked lady that are on the mud flaps.
Yeah.
You know, that one? That's kind of annoying to me.
You know, so Teresa, do you, what do you see on cars that you just think, ugh?
Well, you all know the story of the day that I was so frustrated and cursing at every car that got in my way, and the next thing I saw was a Namaste bumper sticker.
That's right.
Basically, just anybody that has their rear windshield so covered up with bumper stickers that they can't see what's behind them.
Okay, yeah. So, okay. Rick, how about you?
Well, we have a neighbor that he has two crappy cars. One, he actually painted sex on one and turbo on the other, so now we just call him Turbo Sex. That's like his nickname.
I love it. I got to tell you, the one thing that bothers me are when, and this is as a mom who picks a kid up at school a lot, are the cars, usually the big black gas-guzzling SUVs that have the little stickers of each of the children. Mm-hmm. on it, and their athletic accomplishments. This is Trina, and she does ballet and plays soccer and hopes for world peace, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what bugs me. Okay, so here is the sentence that won the 2011 Best Writing Competition.
Hold on a second. Did you forget a question here?
We'll go back to it at the end if we have time. I skipped it. Did you have a good answer for that?
Actually, I do, because it's pretty hilarious. No, wait. Okay, no, proceed.
Okay, so this is the sentence that won the 2011 Bad Writing Contest, which is a contest that challenges people to create the worst opening sentence to a book ever. Ready for the sentence? Cheryl, he wrote it about you, apparently. Oh. Cheryl's mind turned like the veins of a wind-powered turbine, chopping her sparrow-like thoughts into bloody pieces that fell into a growing pile of forgotten memories.
That's so great.
I would like you guys to each give me a horrible opening line to a book that you would create. Let's start with Cheryl.
Well, I don't know that I would create it, but I'm just thinking of pretty bad opening lines. You've got, "It was a dark and stormy night."
Isn't that how Snoopy always opened his books? "It was a dark and stormy night." So, Rick, do you have a bad sentence?
It was a dark and stormy night, and Chad Wilson was recently starting to feel better after obtaining rectal damage from ...
I was going to say, mine would have to be, "In the midst of my colonoscopy, I suddenly realized." Teresa, do you have one?
Oh, God, hang on a second.
That's going to get me fired, I know it.
I'm from the South, so...
Really?
Yeah. My worst opening is, "Well, Bubba, it started like this, and then I spilled my beer."
That's a good one.
Okay, so this is the last question of the night, because I didn't have time to do too many because I forgot that I was supposed to do this show. So, everybody take a deep breath. Okay, and we're peaceful, and we've got Zen. So, a Kansas City man found a woman lying unconscious in an alley. This isn't funny, but it is. I'm so sorry. He raped her. She was laying there unconscious, and he raped her. So, this is what I find sort of funny about it. When the police caught him, this was his excuse: "I thought she was dead." So, I want to know, because that's just a horrible excuse. What is the worst excuse for bad behavior that you've either ever offered or heard? And we'll start with Teresa.
Oh, nobody'll know.
Nobody'll know.
I've worked in numerous retail establishments over my 47 years, and that's, if anybody's ever caught stealing, well, I didn't think they'd miss it.
Yeah, right. Well, they have more than I do. So, Rick, how about you? Have you heard any bad excuses for bad behavior or offered them?
Okay, first off, all right, okay, it's terrible that he raped her, but he thought she was dead. How does that make it any better?
I know, that's Tanner, and I heard that on the radio today. You know? And I looked at Tanner, and I said, "Oh, well, that excuses it."
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it was, you know, it's a work thing. I got like a ton of, you know, stories about the kids that I work with. It was like 2:00 in the morning, and one of my kids had woken up early, you know, like sometimes it happens. And of course, my kids have behavioral problems. So he turns his radio on, and he's singing and dancing in his room. I walk into his room, and I'm like, dude, you need to turn that down, man. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, but it's the Black Eyed Peas. They want me to dance. What do you expect me to do? That was the worst I've ever
That's
heard.
That's funny.
But it's the Black Eyed Peas. So
but it's the Black Eyed Peas.
How about you, Cheryl?
Oh, I don't know if it's the worst, but this one is really annoying to me. When people use the excuse that it was a dare.
Oh yeah, he dared me to do that.
Yeah.
Or the devil made me do it.
Oh, I know.
That's better.
Yeah.
The devil made me do it.
There we go. So that's all I have for the lightning round tonight, you guys.
That was fun. I like those questions.
They were fun, yeah.
Thank you. Well, you know, I've been refreshed. Once I remembered that I had to do the show tonight. Can you imagine 5:30, Cheryl calls us, Rick.
Yeah.
Have you heard from Perry? No.
Thank
You're
goodness.
On your own again, Rick.
Because I'm sitting in Applebee's with my family eating dinner. It didn't happen. But here's next week. I'm on my own, although Cheryl's trying to find me a co-host. How's that going, Cheryl?
It's slow going.
Okay, all right. So yeah. We're trying to find a co-host because Rick is my security blanket, and I need to have him or someone to talk during a show. So who are our guests next week?
Next week we have Living Dead Paranormal, and we're going to have Josh Foreman join us along with some additional members of the team. And actually the team includes three brothers, Josh, Sean, and Rocky, and a friend of theirs, Greg. And basically, the group was founded in 2008, and each year the team travels the country investigating sites like Waverly Hills. Was that a yawn?
Are we boring you?
That was a ooh.
Oh, okay.
I thought I'll wrap up.
Boring you, geez.
Sorry.
But, you know, places like that, Prospect Place Mansion, the old South Pittsburgh Hospital. And cool. They actually air their investigations live, I believe. And they have a YouTube channel, so you can check out some of their videos in the meantime. Search for Living Dead Paranormal. So that will be next week.
Yeah, and get their EVPs, tons of them, because whoever my co-host is, I'm going to just grind them to dust with my awesome
I think I have a couple so far. I'll see if we can get any more.
And we have some acumen.
Yeah,
that's right. And we have some really kind of exciting shows coming up here soon.
We do.
That I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, you sent us the schedule, and I know that the week that I'm not here, Rick's going to be talking to my friends actually about Port Gamble. And Rick, you and I will get together, and I'll give you the skinny on Port Gamble. But it's a fascinating place. And then I know that we've got like some stuff about the Phoenix Lights coming up, and we have the author of the Ghost Huntress series, which is a kids series about a teenage ghost hunter, but it's a really fun series. Merle Gibson coming up, and so we've got some kind of great shows coming up here in the near future, and I'm really looking forward to that.
You know what? If we do the Phoenix Lights thing, I'm going to really try and get my brother in the chat room because he lives in Phoenix and he was living in Phoenix at the time that was going on.
Cool.
So I'm gonna have to definitely try to do that.
Yeah. So Teresa, thank you for coming on and doing the lightning round.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy it every time.
I know. So next week it'll be me and a co-host yet to be named, and we'll be here at 6 p.m. if I remember. We'll be here.
Please, because then we have no host.
I hope so.
6 p.m. Pacific. 9
You need me to remind you.
I'll put it in my iPhone. I just had a lot going on this week and I forgot. So anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Later, Bye. Gators.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z Talk Radio Network.